I know a man, his name is Lang, and he owns a neon sign. And Mr. Lang, he's really old, so we call it Old Lang's Sign. Welcome, everybody, to the SAFTAcast, the only podcast that talks to writers, editors, and publishers about everything except writing, editing, or publishing. I'm your host, Scott C. It is time, folks, for our annual holiday episode, and thinking back on it this year, it's hard to believe that 11 months ago, I posted the now annual Sundress/SAFTA/SAFTAcast New Year's message. It was a wild recording that night, catching Sundress's staff, friends, and associates all counting down the final seconds of 2015, singing, and then crossfading into a morning after message I recorded on my phone outside of the Sundress Academy, my voice sounding like the floor of a movie theater.
'Tis Scott C., the host of the SAFTAcast. On behalf of all of us at the Sundress Academy for the Arts, may your 2016 have more highs than lows, more pros than cons, and more good memories than bad memories. And now, since I feel about the way I sound, or sound the way I feel, I think it's time for a bit of hot chocolate and college football bowl games. Happy New Year, everyone.
It's hard to believe because it doesn't feel like 11 months ago. It feels a lot longer, like 11 years. That's because 2016 has, well, it's been a year. Kind of hard to put into words, really. TV host John Oliver tried, but ended up just literally blowing up the numbers 2016 at the end of his November 13th broadcast, and many people I've talked to before writing this episode expressed similar feelings. That's because there's a very real desire among the people I've talked to redo the entire year, and I get where they're coming from. But, folks, we have to face the facts. Abe Vigoda wasn't going to live forever. Okay, kidding aside, their sentiments embody what the New Year's holiday represents. U2 famously sang that nothing changes but New Year's Day, and technically they're right because it really is no different than July 18th becoming July 19th or March 3rd becoming March 4th, whatever it is. But as I'm sure you know, it's also not that. The idea of a new year is powerful and symbolic of so many things, and ending, a beginning, a cycle, renewal, a cleansing, etc., etc., etc. That's why we put so much emphasis on it, why it's the biggest party night and day of the entire season. New Year's has an allure that transcends both the sacred and the secular. Yet, despite that, despite the fact that it's the biggest party night and day of the year, and it's the only time when everybody at a party can sing and nobody cares how bad they sound, like the other two dozen major holidays that take place in December, New Year's gets shafted when it comes to the music. And so that's where this SAFTAcast comes in. Today, for this very special annual holiday music episode, I am going to aim both barrels at my sawed-off holiday music shotgun at the music of New Year's. Ha ha ha! If you do a quick internet search for New Year's songs and click on a bunch of those results, you'll quickly notice two things. One, a lot of songs that aren't directly connected to the holiday, but kind of fall into general party music, and two, a lot of repetition. Put those facts together, and what you have is prepackaged playlists that are both good and crappy at the same time. I don't mean to say that the songs are crap or even inappropriate. They make a lot of sense. I mean, while I've never really understood the revived appeal of Journey, Don't Stop Believin' is a crowd pleaser, the same way that AC/DC's You Shook Me All Night Long, Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me, Kool & the Gang's Celebration, all of those are part of a set of tracks that can get any floor, be it a club, a dive bar, somebody's living room, to fill up really damn quick. Coming out of a mobile DJ background, then, I'm totally cool with these lists. But the reason I say that they're crap is the same reason that most first-page search results for any theme playlist or song suggestions are crap. They're repetitive, and therefore limiting. Read a bunch of New Year's 2016 lists, and they'll all start to feel the same. Sure, one site might include Counting Crows Along December, or another might include Seasons of Love from Rent, but almost every list seems to fall back on a group of time-tested standards, like Dan Fogelberg's Same Old Lang Syne, U2's New Year's Day, either the OJ's or Ella Fitzgerald's cover of What Are You Doing New Year's Eve, and the Eagles' Funky New Year.
Jesus, man, could you change the channel? Come on, I had a rough night, and I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
I feel you, dude. It's why I got into seeking out and propagating holiday music a long time ago. I just couldn't live by the idea that there were only 30 Christmas songs out there, and even less for Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Solstice, Tet, New Year's, etc. But I digress. Our Saftacast holiday music list this year, if you've been kind of oblivious so far, is all about New Year's. Specifically, 7 tracks that deserve more time in the holiday spotlight than they've ever gotten. Neglected New Year's, I guess you could call it. These are tracks that you're likely not to find on a quick internet search. They don't show up on too many playlists, and in some cases, there's almost nothing on the artists behind them. But that's setting the clock ahead, so to speak. Anyway, get your party engines primed, my friends, because there ain't no party like a New Year's party, and there ain't no music like New Year's music. Man, I gotta come up with better endings to these introductions. Seven! We kick off our list with the one song that everybody knows to sing on New Year's, and the one song that every December we look up the lyrics for and the history of, because we still have no clue what it means or what it's about. Auld Lang Syne. History time. For the record, the lyrics, which roughly translate as "for old times' sake," were penned by Scottish poet Robert Burns. Question mark? There's a bit of debate on how much Burns had to do with the words. Some people claim that he wrote it all himself, but there's strong evidence out there to suggest he borrowed some, or perhaps all, of the lines from another folk song, Auld Lang Syne. So did he just transcribe the words from somebody he'd heard recite them or sing them and then claim the words as his own? Or did he write some of the words and then add some creative changes to the rest? I don't know, because I'm frankly not a Robert Burns scholar. All I can say is that it's really unclear what Burns had to do with the composition. What is clear, though, is that by the 1790s, the poem had found its way into the anthologies of Scottish folk music. But it would take a little bit longer, over a century, before it became the holiday enigma that we know and love. It would take the advent of radio to make that happen. Way back in the mists of time, on New Year's Eve 1929, Canadian big band leader Guy Lombardo and his band the Royal Canadians played the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, and the show was broadcast live. In previous non-broadcast shows, the Royal Canadians had often used Auld Lang Syne as just a quick transitional piece between numbers, and they did that at the show in 1929. But here's the kicker. Auld Lang Syne went out right about midnight, and for the same reason that some YouTube videos go viral today, the song hit a cultural sweet spot. The song, the message, the timing, the performance, everything aligned perfectly, and a tradition was quickly born. Then, 10 years later, with the advent of mass-produced recordings, Lombardo's 1939 studio version became a smash hit, further cementing the song's popularity at end-of-the-year parties. That massive popularity and association is why so many holiday albums you find put the song as part of their track listing. Usually, though, it's placed near the end of the album, almost feeling like an afterthought, but it kind of also mimics the shift from Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa to the next holiday. But Auld Lang Syne can serve another purpose on these holiday albums, as a way to kind of say goodbye to the listener. For example, the Beach Boys' 1964 release, The Beach Boys' Christmas Album, from where we get the so often played this time of year Little Saint Nick, ends with a chance for Dennis Wilson to step forward.
This is Denny, and speaking for the rest of the guys, I'd like to say that it has been a great pleasure for all of us to bring you this Christmas album. We hope you will treasure it the way we do. And if you happen to be listening to this album right now, Mike, Brian, Carl, Al, and I would like to wish every one of you a very Merry Christmas, and we hope the new year brings you as much happiness as this year has brought us.
By the same token, the Three Stooges cut their own version, which, side note, is kind of hard to find, actually, because it's not on their Christmas Time with the Three Stooges album, but the unholiday-titled Madcap Musical Nonsense at Your House disc.
Your house to visit you.
As you can kind of sense, the Three Stooges is kind of like the Beach Boys effort, you know, background bit of Auld Lang Syne played just loud enough for the listener to know what the tune is, and overlaid that is a soft-spoken, well-meaning farewell and thanks, followed by a few more bars of the song and ending with the classic 3 to 5 second fade-out. Oh, and the quote-unquote singers in those tracks sound tired and or depressed. Seriously, listen again to the Stooges sign-off.
Remember Larry, Moe, and Curly Joe.
I don't know about you, but Curly Joe DeRita just sounds like he knows his spot in the group at that moment, the replacement that nobody thinks is as good as the original. Originals, though, is where our first track on this Saftcast music list comes in. An original version of the song, accompanied by a farewell and goodbye message. Picture it, Sicily, 1921. Picture it, December 31st, 1969. The waning hours and minutes of a decade. The location, 105 Second Avenue, near 6th Street in New York City. The Fillmore East, rock promoter Bill Graham's East Coast expansion out of San Francisco. The band on stage at that moment, Jimi Hendrix and the short-lived Band of Gypsies. That particular show, one of four that was done in a 48-hour span, was recorded and ultimately put out as Band of Gypsies, the only live Hendrix album released before his death in September 1970. The live LP really focuses on only the third and fourth shows, and it would be almost 30 years before MCA put out the double disc with songs covering the whole two-night stand. And right at the end of it is this gem. You really need to hear the full track to experience the power of this one. It opens with the crowd counting down. The new year hits, Bill Graham steps forward to the mic and wishes everyone a good start to a new decade, and the traditional big band version of Auld Lang Syne allows everyone to take a moment to cheer, kiss, or do whatever they want. And then Hendrix takes over. I wasn't at the show. Still had 9 years to become a reality. But I can easily picture him on that stage, waiting silently. Then, as the first verse begins to end, he looks at his band, nods, and does what he did so well. The song starts up on his guitar, he plays the first verse, and then lets whatever divine force that was within him seize control. There's nothing I can add to the mythos of Hendrix beyond that. His albums, his bands, his songs, his legacy are all well-known, documented, and richly deserved. So I'll leave it at this. If you're looking for an alternative to the Guy Lombardo Auld Lang Syne that is still played to this day at Times Square every New Year's when the ball drops, you will be hard-pressed to find one that's more intense or more awesome. Because I can, I'm going to stick with 1960s spoken word tracks for just a wee bit longer. But our next track moves away from the big-name entertainers like the Beach Boys, the Three Stooges, and Bill Graham and Jimi Hendrix to one of its lesser stars, one who is maybe forgotten about by many outside of New York City radio, Harry Harrison. For our younger listeners, there was a time when the radio DJ was iconic, on par with the talent they spoke about or introduced. Listeners tuned into shows not just for the music, but for the hosts themselves. For example, it was one thing to tune in to Dr. Demento's program for his novelty songs, but another to tune in for the good doctor himself.
Your radio. Westwood One presents the Dr. Demento Show. 2 hours of mad music and crazy comedy from out of the archives and off the wall. Rare records and outrageous tapes from yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Same goes for a myriad of other names. Wolfman Jack, Casey Kasem, Howard Stern, Delilah Renee. You know, now that I think of it, I'm not giving young listeners enough credit. There is still a big market for the radio DJ. I mean, heck, right now, you're listening to a podcast with a signature host, and if you listen to podcasts regularly, not just this one, you know that the host is integral to a good show. And you could probably name, whether you like them or not, at least one quote-unquote morning zoo program in your local area. You know the ones I'm talking about. 92.5 Breakfast Bowl with Danny B and Zany Bill Grain. Hey! Or the shut the hell up and just let me know what the traffic is like on the 403 so my boss doesn't chew me out for being late again with Jeff, Kate, and Gary the Spider. God, I hate those shows. Anyway, back to talking about what I was going to talk about. Harry Harrison comes out of the second generation of well-known radio voices. Throughout the 50s, he worked in Chicago and Peoria, Illinois, climbing the ranks. Then, in 1959, he caught his big break, moving to be the midday man at WMCA in New York. It was there he honed and perfected his clean-cut, good-guy style, which he then brought with him to WABC in 68, and then for the majority of his career at WCBS, beginning in 1980. But let's focus on his stint at WMCA. In 1965, Harry cut a recording of his annual New Year's letter/message, May You Always, for AMI Records.
Sometime during the new year, to keep your heart in practice, may you do someone a secret good deed and not get caught at it. May you find a little island of time to read that book and write that letter and to visit that lonely friend on the other side of town. May your next do-it-yourself project not look like you did it yourself. May the poor relatives you help support remember you when they win the lottery. May your best card tricks win admiring gasps and your worst puns admiring groans.
The Cut made the Billboard charts in November of that year, and it's easy to see why. It's inoffensive, full of little aphorisms and well wishes that we've all come to associate with something like greeting cards or cute memes that our family members like to post on social media. You know what I'm talking about. Nice quote laid over a picture of baby animals or some unspoiled landscape that then asks the viewer to either signal their approval for the image or pass it along to their own connections. I'm not trying to say that those sentimental thoughts are bad. They have a place in this world. They occupied that space that so many of us have for the quote-unquote warm fuzzies, and the December holidays are chock full of them, as you are well aware. Hence, Harrison's May You Always fits in right with the season, the holiday, and this list. But there's one more thing I want to say about this track before moving on. What I really like about May You Always is that it avoids one of the biggest issues I have with the holiday. What to say to somebody at a party or even just in passing in that week between Christmas and New Year's. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a realist. When someone says, "Have a great year" to me, or "Hope next year is a good one for you," I get annoyed. Nobody has a good year. Not 365 full days of good. Think of your own life for a second. Have you ever had a year, every single day of that year, was full of good things? No, you haven't. You've had some good days, some really good days, some bad days, some really bad days, and a whole lot of meh days. Harrison's message, though, focuses on the smaller things, like ordering a steak medium rare and it comes to the table medium rare, or that you accidentally overhear a compliment about you, or that maybe a celebrity waves to you on the street, that sort of stuff. The good but little things that make up the year. It's because of Harry Harrison, then, that if you ever see me around New Year's, I'm likely to wish you, like, only one flat tire, or that you have a set of dry clothes if you get caught in a rainstorm. That sort of stuff. And now you know the rest of the story. Radio host joke. Ask your parents.
5!
Before I get to talking about the next song on our countdown, or count up, or whatever, our list of New Year's songs, I'm going to be upfront and confess something to you. I am a sucker for Celtic toasts and blessings. I'm not saying I collect them or hang them up around my house or that suddenly I want people to start sending them to me as gifts or something for me to hang up all around the house. I just like them as a whole, and I'm a sucker when I hear a really good one said in earnest, like my personal favorite, "May you live to be 100 and your last drink be with me." Related then, and maybe because of my ancestry and such, I'm a sucker for Celtic music. Not saying I have a huge collection of albums or that I suddenly want a huge stack of them as gifts. I just like the genre as a whole, and every March I play Van Morrison, The Chieftain's Irish Heartbeat on repeat. I confess all that because I have no problem when it comes to Celtic Christmas albums, and Celtic Christmas happens to be the title of the album from which our third song on this list, Let the Good Guys Win, comes from.
May the one you love be the one you get. May you get someplace you haven't been to yet. Bring the old year out, bring the new year in, bring us all good luck. Let the good guys win, bring the old year out.
The version you just heard is by a group called Toot Sweet, spelled T-O-O-T, as in tooting a horn, and S-W-E-E-T, as in sweet as sugar, and not spelled the same as the French phrase meaning right away. It's important to mention that because there's not a lot about the band out there that I can find. Oh, there is a band called Toot Sweet, founded by the multi-talented Mary Spencer Knapp, but they were formed, I think, in the last 2 years or so, and the cover I'm talking about here is from 2009, so obviously it's two different groups. Or maybe not. Maybe they're the same group, just broken up and then reformed, or maybe Toot Sweet is just a name of a bunch of studio musicians that needed a name really quick so they could put it on that album. I have no idea, and I'm babbling. While I like Toot Sweet's cover because of its Celtic sound, and the two female lead singers are really good, the version you're most likely to encounter online is the 1988 original version recorded by Canadian singer-songwriters Murray McLaughlin, Paul Hyde, and Tom Cochran, who was just a couple of years away at that point from gracing us with this bar rock anthem. Let the Good Guys Win was a charity single put out for UNICEF, and sadly, it's been largely forgotten about. Tracking down an original cassette tape single of it is not easy, and images for the cassette cover are overshadowed by memes about being a quote-unquote good guy. It's a damn shame, too, because I think the song is great. Unlike Harrison's May You Always, Let the Good Guys Win is focused on the bigger things. Phrased as a Celtic blessing, the lyrics first wish the singer their fondest desires in the coming year. Second verse, there is a hope that the listener has a year of love, exploration, and good fellowship. And the final verse expands the audience wishing the entire earth a new shot at peace by righting wrongs and bringing the evils of our world out into the bright sunlight. Okay, so it has a touch of sentimentalism and a dash of sappiness, but I try to overlook that since so many holiday, year-end, and charity singles pull that move. What it really comes down to, in my opinion, is that the performance is good. It's too easy with a song like this to go schmaltzy, but both the Toot Sweet cover and the McLaughlin Hyde Cochran original are so sincere in their performances, which is why I kind of love them both. Okay, confession. I like the McLaughlin version a tiny bit more, but then I'm also a sucker for Canadian singer-songwriters. As I'm sure you're aware, New Year's Eve parties are a global affair. Watch the news in a couple of weeks and you'll see photos of celebrations in Tokyo and Australia, followed by ones in Central Asia, Europe, and then the Western Hemisphere. In a similar fashion, then, the music of New Year's is not confined to one area or a genre. To illustrate this global affair, our next two songs come to us from the amazing world of reggae music. First up is this bouncy, upbeat song from Frank Cosmo.
Hello, 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 everybody, hello. Family sends you greetings and still remembers you. May your ears be bright.
Normally, this is the moment that I give you some info about the artist and then break down why the song is so great, in my opinion. But when I put this episode together, like with Toot Sweet, I couldn't find much information about Frank Cosmo, aside from a few scanned photos of 45 record labels and scattered mentions on indie, college, and ska podcasts. And like with Toot Sweet, that's a shame, because this song is a lot of fun. I mean, you heard the clip. Just listen to it. The bouncing, upbeat tempo of it, the warm harmonica melody, the cheerful singing, this track has everything in it. Whenever it shows up on my holiday music playlist, or in my car stereo, or in my album collection, I just want to start dancing and moving around, and the only other artist I have ever found that has that power is The Fess, Professor Longhair. Well, maybe P-Funk as well, but P-Funk does have the occasional slow jam as well, like Holly Wants to Go to California, that sort of stuff. But anyway, so much of the song that we're talking about right now, Greetings from Beverly's, is a mystery to me. Where is Beverly's? What is Beverly's? Is it somebody's house? Is it a bar? Is it a restaurant? Why is somebody from Beverly's wishing me a Happy New Year's? Why does the person assume that I'm their dear friend? I mean, who are they? Who is this singer? The questions I have only add to my love of this song, and maybe they're the key to it. I don't know the answers, So I end up loving the questions themselves and coming up with my own vision of what the song is. Like, I picture some bar in, like, the 1950s sitcom style and everything. Not like the 80s in Cheers, but, like, an older place, or it's kind of, like, really cool. And, I don't know, like, watch an episode of The Twilight Zone or something, like the Christmas episode of The Twilight Zone. You know the bars I'm talking about. Anyway, speaking of bars, if I ever owned a bar, I would name it Beverly's, just so I could blast this song every December and then send out holiday cards to my beloved patrons that feature a picture of the joint out in front, decked out in colored lights, with the words, "Greetings from Beverly's," written in a clean, friendly, red and white wintry font. Don't judge me. You would do the same. Hello, hello, hello. Everybody, hello, do 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 do, do do do, wherever you come from.
Green!
If Frank Cosmo is obscure, then Lee Scratch Perry is known. Well known. Second perhaps only to Bob Marley in name recognition, Perry's discography and production work is beyond impressive. It's pioneering level. His use of overdubs and sampling were crucial to the development of reggae as a genre, and its associated subgenres like dub and dubstep. But I'm not here to edify Perry. If you want to know more about him, check out the 2011 biopic The Upsetter, or, better yet, just seek out some of his early recordings in the 1970s, the Black Ark era. Seriously, they are worth it. Now, I'm here today, right now, because, like so many big-time artists, Perry dropped a holiday track.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hello, my baby. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Oh, my darling, cry. Oh, maybe we can try it.
Although it came out in 1986, this track has all the hallmarks of Perry's early work and his particular style. The use of echo, reverb, multiple overdub vocal tracks, the groove, it's all there, and it all works to perfection in this track. But that's not the only reason I put it on this list. As you may know or have guessed, I'm always invested in the lyrics of a song. Maybe it's my literature background, I don't know, but it's no different with this one. And there's something unique about this particular track on this particular list. Most of the songs, if not almost all of them, perhaps, well, no, now that I think of it, all of them, are a bit happy, a bit upbeat, positive. But this one is the outlier of all of it, because it's really kind of a sad song. On the surface, like the others on this playlist, as I've been mentioning, is a message of happiness and looking forward, but this one is tempered with cautious optimism. If you listen close, the song tells the story of a broken relationship. How broken? It never says. Why it's broken? Again, unsaid. But something happened to the lovers in this song. Why else would the well wishes of Merry Christmas and Happy New Year always be followed in the song by Maybe We Can Try Again, and Don't Cry, Wipe the Tears from Your Eyes? Those lines tell me that there is pain in this song. Deep pain. Pain that echoes the dark truth of the holiday season. November to February is the biggest time of the year for breakups and divorces. I'm not kidding, that's an actual thing too, you can look it up. Family obligations, financial stress, busy season with lots of things to do, the idea of the new slate and starting over, it all makes sense. And I sense that Perry's trying to tap into that vibe with this particular song. I think I just brought down the mood of this playlist. Big time. So, here's a joke. Two fish are sitting in a tank, and one fish says to the other, "Do you know how to drive this thing?" Yeah? Yeah? Get it? Get it? Ha! Humor!
Wait, I got another one. What did one snowman say to the other? Do you smell carrots? Oh, that's rich, I tell you. Rich!
This is pathetic. Let's just move on to the next song.
Oh man, we are already getting to the end of this list, and when I made it, I was faced with a conundrum. What order to do these last two songs? One of the two choices was to go with this one, Dan Wilson's What a Year for a New Year.
What a year for a new year. We need it like we needed life, I guess. Last one left us lying in a mess. What a year for a new year. What a night for a sunrise. And we thought the dark would never end.
Returning to the top of the show, when a lot of people said that this year was craptastical, this was the first song I thought of, and the title alone feels like the theme for many of the parties I've already been invited to. But more on that in a minute. First, let's talk about Dan Wilson. If you've been to college in the last 20 or so years, then you're probably familiar with Wilson's work.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me.
Yes, he's responsible for that track, and while Semisonic, the band behind it, kinda sorta broke up in the early 2000s, Wilson hasn't disappeared from the industry. He's had a long and successful career as a songwriter, writing or co-writing hits for Florence and the Machine, Nas, Pink, Adele, the Dixie Chicks, Josh Groban, Jason Mars, and a whole lot of others. In fact, if you look at Adele's 21 album, I think three or more songs are at least co-written by Wilson. Yeah, I was kind of surprised at learning all that too when I was putting this episode together. I thought Semisonic was just another one of those one-hit wonders that had disappeared and become a pop culture punchline like Third Eye Blind or Fastball or Candlebox, but apparently not. Anyway, shortly after Semisonic went on quasi-permanent hiatus around 2002, Dan dropped What a Year for a New Year. On the surface, it's what you would expect from a hitmaker. The music starts with soft, isolated piano chords, then brings in a snare and bass combo to keep time, and eventually builds to accommodate a crunching, yet clean guitar part, the tried-and-true recipe for an early to mid-90s pop ballad. The lyrics, too, are in the same kind of league. Bland, inoffensive thoughts, and lines that rhyme words, I guess, with mess, end with friend, and place with trace and face. In other words, it's a 4-minute ballad that could have easily been put on a Ben Folds disc or one of a half dozen other artists in the period. I sound like I'm coming down on the track, but all of that familiarity is what makes this song work. Sure, it may not have the upbeat rhythm of Greetings from Beverly's or the sonic assault that is Hendrix, but there's nothing inherently wrong with a song like What a Year for a New Year. Sometimes we need the sentimentality that is a pop ballad. Perhaps more than any other genre or subgenre, they have the ability to tap into a collected psyche and express in cliches and general terms what so many people are feeling at the same time. In a weird way, the pop ballad unites people. It's the same thing with love songs like John Legend's All of Me or Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud. We may cringe at the lyrics when we hear them, but we also get why so many wedding couples use them as their first dance or our song. What I'm trying to say, then, is that Dan Wilson's What a Year for a New Year might not be the biggest or most unique holiday hit, but as 2016 gets to its own closing time, sorry, I had to, it may be a song that's on many people's minds, whether they realize it or not.
One!
And so here we are, the final song on our countdown, count-up, list examination of neglected New Year's songs. It may seem like it's been a short list, but it's power-packed, I can assure you that. But before we get out of here, I gotta address one major issue. The biggest question about holiday music, the one that bothers me more than any other, is,
why isn't there any new Christmas music?
Seriously, I hear that at least once every season, and my eyes always start flashing red. Not red like red and green lights wrapped around a porch railing, but red like a toaster oven heating coil. Every year, there are hundreds of new Christmas songs released, coming from A-list performers like Jimmy Buffett, who released his second Christmas album right before Halloween in 2016, to internet sensations like Hot Dad, to people just recording something in their home office and then posting it online to amuse a few people. What I'm getting at is that there is always new holiday music being made, so in that spirit, let's close out this year's SaftaCast Music Special with something from this year. Straight No Chaser started out as an acapella group at Indiana University in 1996. In 2007, a live recording of their version of The 12 Days of Christmas went viral, leading to over 19 million views and a 5-album deal at Atlantic Records. This past October, the same day Jimmy Buffett released his second, Straight No Chaser dropped their third holiday album, I'll Have Another Christmas Album. I've kept up with the group since they went viral long ago, and the new disc, in my opinion, doesn't disappoint. At least, technically it doesn't. The vocals are still on par with the best in a cappella, but the song selection is kind of standard fare. A cover of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, and some older standards like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, etc. I was a little underwhelmed, but ultimately happy because the group did not abandon what had made them so hot in the first place. Their penchant for the unexpected.
There's a chill in the air, a spice latte is calling, the Starbucks cups turn into red like the leaves. We should think about shopping, but instead we are stalling. We've got 24 days to Christmas.
To Christmas.
Open a bottle of wine.
To Christmas.
December, our favorite time.
To Christmas, the drinking song lives up to its title in that it's a quote-unquote drinking song with a holiday narrative attached. In it, a choir of singers toast the holiday season, all the while watching it pass by them, the calendar counting down, or counting up, to December 25th. And then the holiday ends, and they're sad, because there's no holiday left to celebrate, except New Year's in 7 days. Suddenly, the chorus is boisterous and happy all over again, and there is not a sad song in anyone's heart. Ultimately, To Christmas the Drinking Song is a prime example of the best type of New Year's track. At once, it's silly, it's joyous, and it expresses the things that everyone on New Year's Eve can get behind. The need to have something to look forward to, the hope that that something is worth the wait, and the collective wish that when the sun rises, maybe, just maybe, just this once, it won't be like that U2 song. That this time, something has changed on New Year's Day. That's going to kind of do it for us here on the SAFTACast 2016 Music Holiday Special. What are your thoughts on it? Do you agree or disagree with the choices? What's on your New Year's playlist? Is there a particular song that you like to listen to every year? Do you have some info on who Frank Cosmo is or was? I'd be curious. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line by stopping by our Facebook page on the internet. If you go to Facebook and search SAFTACast, you can comment on the post about this episode or just drop us a line and say hi that you're listening to the show or whatever. You can also do it to us on Twitter by finding us there at SAFTACast. We always love to hear from our listeners. You all are cool people. And I mean that sincerely. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in a holiday mood right now. I generally mean it. Well, folks, I will also tell you, though, that the holiday season here on the program is not completely 100% over. No, we do have one more holiday episode we're going to be dropping right before the Christmas Day comes about. And it's going to be an interesting one. A couple of former guests here on the program are going to be joining me, and we're going to be having a roundtable discussion about a holiday classic film, Santa with Muscles. And, oh boy, it's going to be an interesting one. You don't want to miss that one, folks. And then, of course, a little programming update for you. Once the holidays kick into high gear, then we are going to kind of take a week or two off here on the program. But we will return, as we often do and always do, in January with the annual Sundress New Year's message. And then a whole slate of good guests and new episodes for you beginning in January. All right, a couple last little things I want to mention real quick about the podcast here. That's all good information, but a couple little things. One, of course, we have made a playlist of today's show, the full tracks and such, and that is up on YouTube. You can find the link to that on our website at saftacast.com, of course on Facebook, and we'll try to post a link on Twitter. You can also find on there our 2015 and 2014 lists as well, all holiday lists. We try to put as many of the songs you've heard in today's show together on a playlist for you for your convenience so you can jam out on your holiday parties and such. And of course, one more thing, folks, very important here. We'd intended at this program to have this episode up a little bit earlier in the season here at the beginning of December, but life got in the way and things got complicated, and I feel a little bit bad that it's not coming out until now, so I have done something special for you. Stick around after our end credits because I have recorded for you a little bonus holiday song. Indeed, it's an original take on one of the songs that was featured in today's episode. That's coming up right after the end credits. Stick around for it, folks, and enjoy it. Hey, everyone, on behalf of all of us who are a part of the SAFTACast, we want to thank you for being a part of the show and tuning in and dealing with us throughout this fall, which was kind of a strange time, but we thank you for your support, and we love you. Take care, enjoy your holiday season. We'll be back with a brand new episode in the very near future, just in time for the big day. Catch you then, folks.
The SAFTACast is a production of the Sundress Academy for the Arts. For episodes and more, visit SAFTACast.com. Until we talk again, this is your host, Scott C., signing off.
As December winds down and lovers embrace and friends drunkenly warble their way through the first verse of Auld Lang Syne, may I wish you not the same things everyone else does, but the smaller things we so often overlook. In the coming year, may you only get one flat tire and have only one burnt dinner. May you make someone's day and never know you did. May you finally read that online article you bookmarked months ago, and may you finally be caught up on your email inbox. May you learn a new simple life skill, like sewing on a button or baking a ham. May you buy a piece of clothing that makes you look and feel awesome. May someone notice when you cut your hair, wear new glasses, or play the marimba. May all those who've already seen it not spoil a movie's ending for you. May your reason for getting up in the morning not just be your alarm clock, and may you have at least one morning every 2 weeks where your body lets you sleep in. May this not be the year you develop that disease that gets put in the cause of death box on the coroner's form, and may all the things you order online arrive as scheduled. For once, may you have a change of clothes on you if you get caught in a rainstorm, or at least have an umbrella at your side. May someone compliment you on a job well done. If someone sends you a Facebook friend request, may you remember exactly how you know them. If you order a steak well done, may everyone around you question your life choices, because seriously, why would you ever do that? What did the steak do to you? Punish your family or something? And if you should happen to go viral, may it be for something insightful and/or humorous, and not for something like a drug-fueled rant outside of a Waffle House. May a long, lonely night be brightened by a friendly phone call, and not just softcore pornography and canned pasta. When you reach into your couch cushions to find the remote, may you find it on the first grab. When you fall, may you fall on something soft, like a pillow. And sometime soon, may you be retweeted by a celebrity, shown indifference to by a cat, amused by a cute animal video, and thought of fondly by someone you like. More than this, I cannot wish you. Happy holidays and Happy New Year from all of us here at the SAFTAcast.